and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Before heading to Michigan today, Vice President Kamala Harris on the tarmac commenting about what happened at Madison Square Garden Sunday at former President Trump's rally.
What he did last night is not a discovery. It is just more of the same and maybe more vivid than usual.
The rally featuring an opening comedian who called Puerto Rico a, quote, island of garbage. Another opening speaker calling Kamala Harris the Antichrist and the devil. Trump to campaign in Georgia today. President Biden cast an early ballot today near his home outside Washington. For all but a few years since 1970, Biden has held office or been running for one during election season. McDonald's says it's putting Quarter Pounders back on the menu after testing and ruling out the beef and pointing to the slivered onions as a source of the E. coli outbreak. Some locations will now serve the burgers without onions. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. One of the suspects in a violent home invasion in Barron County last December has been sentenced to prison. Ricardo Antonio Dominguez from Minnesota was sentenced to 12 years in prison and ordered to pay over $16,000 of restitution for his role in the robbery. Dominguez and two other suspects were arrested for tying up a 70-year-old man at gunpoint and tasing him before stealing about $13,000, guns, jewelry, and other valuables. One other suspect has been sentenced and authorities are still looking for the third. Wisconsin State Superintendent Jill Underlie is proposing free meals for all students in the biennial budget. According to a press release from the Department of Public Instruction, the free meals proposal would give all Wisconsin students access to a healthy breakfast and lunch for free. The organization says one in four students has reported hunger from not having food in their home. The budget also proposed to fully fund the school day milk program and create a new program to encourage school districts to buy local. Minnesota Power customers will be seeing a decrease in their utility bill. On Thursday, the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission approved a final rate increase of about 5% for residential and small business customers, which is lower than the current interim rate of 8.6% that went into effect in January. In addition to the smaller bill, customers will also have the difference between the interim rate and final rate refunded to them with interest. The refund will be a one-time bill credit next year when the new rate takes effect. A DoorDash driver who was tased by Superior police officers in February has filed a lawsuit against the city. 22-year-old Ian Kuipers filed claims against the involved officers for excessive force and failure to intervene. The incident occurred on February 28th when Kuipers accidentally turned down a one-way street in the wrong direction and was pulled over. According to court documents, a number of officers drew their weapons and started giving Kuipers commands, which he said confused him, and an officer fired their taser at him twice. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers beat the Jaguars. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a 30-27 win in Jacksonville. Backup Malik Willis replaced Jordan Love at quarterback after he suffered a groin injury. Willis with a 51-yard pass to Jaden Reed set up the winning field goal and says they tried to run that play earlier in the game.
We were looking for this certain look, and we didn't get it the first time. Actually, we ran it twice, and then we ran it again, and we got the look we were looking for, and I feel like Jay Reed popped open, and I'm glad we got it to him.
Up next, the Packers host the Lions. The Wisconsin Badgers are on the road Saturday against the Iowa Hawkeyes after losing at home to Penn State 28-13 over the weekend. Quarterback Braden Locke throwing a costly pick six in the second half. NBA, the Bucks in Boston tonight after losing to the Nets last night in Brooklyn 115-102. How did Giannis play?
I thought Giannis played the right way the entire night. 22 points, 7 assists, 12 rebounds. I mean, guarding everywhere. I don't know what more you can do.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
So you can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabach.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the Waiwega Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabach. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Monday, October 28th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along on our first leg of the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour, kicking things off here at the old World Headquarters, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. In hour number two, you do not want to miss it. It is jam-packed. A little bit later on, we have Kira Sabin, our life coach and positivity psychologist, helping us deal with something I think that we are all feeling: anxiety. How the heck do we get through this week of this election and just keep it together? She'll be in with us. And sitting next to us right now, along with Reed Galen, the president of the union and also a co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. The three of us are old Republicans who have now left the party. Trigvi, like me, a Wisconsin boy, we are so happy to be joined at the table today in studio, not up north, but in studio by our friend and ongoing contributor, John Roach. He is an author. He is a screenwriter. He is a columnist. I like to call him a Renaissance man. He's that glass of brandy that you can sit and sip and enjoy all night on your dock. Mr. John Roach, how are you?
Hey, Todd. Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me on.
I say this, but you're just one of those cool people that I could just sit and have a drink with and just listen to by a fire, and it just makes your soul feel better. So it's nice to have you in studio.
Well, you know, my dad always used to say I have a mouth like a torn pocket, that I'm able to talk for long periods of time. So
that's fantastic, right? Well, we appreciate you stopping by. Reed and Trigvi and I talked about this event.
Trigvi is really a Wisconsin name, too.
Yeah, right.
At first, I thought I was going to be visiting with a former Secretary General of the United Nations. But no.
That's my namesake.
I believe it.
We talked about this event that was last night. We're going to get into this. By the way, I want to make sure we plug this up front. There's a great new documentary called A Road at Night, the story of Howard Moore. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first of all, your personal reflections on this debacle in Madison Square Garden last night.
I just think that we have to defeat these people. It was appalling to me. They outed themselves. They may have blown themselves up. I don't know. They didn't pick up any Puerto Rican votes. That's for damn sure.
Certainly not.
You know, there is an inherent cruelty to Trump that just never goes away and has actually been amplified this latest round. And I was the oldest of six, and one of my jobs was to defend my younger brothers and sisters. And so I have an innate disdain and hatred of bullies.
Sure.
And not only is Trump a bully, but it's a bully culture that has taken over the Republican Party. It's appalling to me. And the fact that it's even a race is enough to make you want to leave. I jokingly said I'm heading up north to northern Wisconsin tomorrow, and depending on the results, I'll just continue on Canada. But I'm optimistic. But those guys outed themselves. There's nothing. First of all, that comedian was not remotely funny.
Right.
He didn't even get a laugh from the crowd.
No. But he was on the docket, and his jokes were entered in the prompter.
Yeah, we talked about
okay?
that.
Okay? So, hello. That was approved by someone. And it was the oily hand of Stephen Miller everywhere. You know, he's...
And Don Jr.
And Don Jr. But Miller is the one who I just would love to have a nice chat with for 5 minutes.
Out behind the barn. You put this race in context before we came on the air in only a unique Wisconsin way in the form of cards. John Roach, how do you see this race?
Well, I said earlier on with you a month or two back that I think the hidden issue is the reversal of Roe v. Wade, because when women go, and I've said in Wisconsin terms, it's the right bower. Okay, it's a euchre term, but when in the privacy of the voting booth, women will be alone with what the Republican Party and their court wants to do with their personal, most intimate decisions. Mm-hmm. And these unwanted pregnancies or health problems don't know any political party. And every woman has known a sister, a sister-in-law, a college classmate, a high school classmate, someone who went through an unwanted pregnancy or some complicated, birthing where there's just no way that it's anyone else's business. Mm. And, you know, the Republican Party for the longest time has been about getting the government out of your life. And here they go leaning into the most intimate part of the lives of more than half of America. And I just think, just like when Trump won the first time, I think there were people who wouldn't say they were voting for Trump and went into the voting booth and voted for him. They were embarrassed to say they were voting for him. But Hillary wasn't innately likable, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of an important thing if you're running for office. And I think that alone with their own thoughts, I think some people are going to vote in a way they haven't voted before.
You know, I was texting with a friend of mine who's a reporter, a guy named Tom Lobianco, and he said, I think that Trump could be the Hillary Clinton of 2024.
Yeah.
That they're just more than half the country. Just it's not even politics. They just don't want him back. Yeah. They don't want a continuation of everything he is.
And there's fatigue.
Exactly.
He needs so much attention. Right. You know, I mean, it's he's the guy who won't leave the party.
I think at the end of the day, here's the thing. There's a lot of so there's certainly there are women who are probably not saying that they're going to vote for Trump. Like for where I'm from up in River Falls, I was talking to a buddy of mine. He was out. He's a business guy in St. Croix in Pierce County, and he was out with some other guys. And you know, the Trump guys were really aggressive as they were out drinking beers. And yep. he finally said, you know, they just assumed everybody's voting for Trump. He finally said, I'm not voting for Trump. You know, I voted for Biden last time. The only Democrat I've ever voted for. I'm not voting for Trump this time either. And they jumped all over him, and he was just sort of like, you know, F off. two other business people who were there came up to him afterwards and were like, I'm so glad you said that. I've just been feeling like the same way you do, but I didn't know that there were other people like us who do. And this is what it gets to. Like, Reed and I both have daughters. We've been talking about this for a long time. There's this group called Dobbs Dads who are conservatives. They're Republicans. They're people like me. A lot of them are pro-life. I consider myself pro-life. But this is the thing. I became a conservative because the Democrats raised the drinking age in the state of Wisconsin. The truth. But
now it all comes out.
That is,
oh, there you go.
That is true.
Talk
that
about
is
cutting the chase. Right.
I didn't get grandfathered in. And it made me mad.
You're bitter, aren't you?
I'm not. But here's the thing. This is the bottom line. Like, I don't want government telling me what kind of shotgun I can own.
Right.
But I'll be damned if I want some wannabe like Scott Walker, who tweets Bible verses at me all the time, tell my daughters, Ula and Kaya, what they can and can't do. And Scott and I came up in conservative politics at the same time, and he would say, oh, you're a rhino or whatever. But the bottom line is this, is we became conservatives because we didn't want government telling me what to do. That was what I always believed it was about. Scott Walker actually just wanted to be somebody and tell other people what to do. Mm-hmm. And you should not have those kinds of people telling our daughters. And there's a lot of people that kind of get that.
Riddle me this. For the longest time, Republicans wanted government out of your life, and they wanted people to be bootstrap Americans.
They wanted to be somebody. This is the thing. I've known Scott Walker since Badger Boys.
No, I'm talking before Scott.
Yeah. Well, even before. Well, no. Tommy Thompson used to always say when I worked for Tommy, two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. You want to stay away from the former. You want to elect the latter. Look at the contrast. I mean, anybody who looks at the contrast between the way Tommy Thompson governed and the way Scott Walker governed gets to where the Republican Party evolved to. You could disagree with Tommy, but Tommy was going to go to Polly Wims and say, what can we do to fix schools?
Right,
what can
right.
we do? Mm-hmm. Scott Walker was like, what can I do to help me get elected president? Because I've been wanting to be that my entire life.
But John Rhodes, finish that point because I think it's important.
Well, I don't understand why the Trump supporters are whining about the price of eggs and everything. It's like, well, then work harder. Get better training. Mm-hmm. The government's, if you're waiting for the government to make you happy, you're going to die of a broken heart. Okay? And in the old days, that's what the Republicans would say to Democrats who say, oh, I want more benefits or whatever. No, go out there and make something yourself. This is a great country. It's the land of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now they're all whining about the – they want to sell off our democracy because they're paying 50 cents too much for eggs in their opinion, right? It's appalling.
Well, I mean, I think what you're saying, first of all, there's no coherent idea. There's no coherent policy, right? So it's just the idea is you're paying more because of them. Right. So it's just it's anger is its base. But I think also
anger and racism
and grievance.
Because you know, I was having a conversation with somebody and they said, oh, you know, it's the party of Reagan. I said, it's not the party of Reagan. It's not the party of Eisenhower. Certainly not the party of Lincoln. Like, this is the Republican Party now. 90% of Republican voters are going to pull the lever for Donald Trump or for some Republican candidate. This is what the GOP has become. 50 years downstream of all of the movement conservative work, evangelicals, everybody else, 50 years downstream of Rush Limbaugh and Fox News providing the constant stream of vitriol, anti-government vitriol, and Donald Trump now almost 10 years on the scene, right? Like, this is what we see. You know, you talked about the aggressive nature. I mean, we got chased around in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, by a guy who said, if you ever come back, I'll get my shotgun, right? Like, we are at the apex of all of this stuff coming together in the next 7 days.
You think Stephen Miller's ever been in a fist fight in his life?
Oh my God. He wouldn't last 30 seconds.
No, Trigby and I have a very interesting, you know, qualitative thing, which is if you want to talk to like a middle of the road white guy, right? You have to have spent a night in jail, been in a bar fight, or having done a keg stand. Now I've done all three.
Wow, right. Congratulations.
So, like,
or maybe a beer bong.
Answer this for me, too. I find Trump and the MAGA people to be so unmanly.
Oh, 100%.
It's appalling to me.
No,
they are the poorest excuses for a man that I've ever seen. Donald Trump, if you played high school football, he wouldn't have lasted 48 hours.
He even said that himself. He admitted it.
Yeah.
Well, this is why, but this gives you everything you need to know about the Republican Party when Reince was mediating, who also probably has never been in a fist fight in his life. But so
40 seconds.
When they were overseeing the 2016
primaries, I was in one at a Brewers game.
If and I've talked to a lot of people, if Donald Trump had talked about George W.'s wife, Laura Bush, W would have gone over on the debate stage and beat the living crap out of him.
Yeah.
If he'd have talked about Ann Romney that way, Mitt Romney, as gentlemanly as he is, would have gone over and beat him up. Ted Cruz, the rest of them, that's not who they are. No.
We'll continue with the airing of the grievances and feats of strength on the Todd Hallball Show.
Where's our aluminum pole?
Yes, John Roach, Reed Galen, Trigby Olson. Don't go anywhere. Talking about this great new documentary with Roach. It's the Hallball Show on Civic Media.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year.
But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballot?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams. Oh, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
I've just tasted no sweatshirts or hats lately.
Said, "Welcome." Back to the Tom Hubbell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yes, indeed, there will be hoodies and sweatshirts because
sure.
We're playing on Wisconsin.
Gotta have that Badger swag.
That's right. That's right. You're talking with Reed Galen, the president of the union, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, and our friend and ongoing contributor, the great John Roach, a screenwriter, author, a Renaissance man, a columnist, and a filmmaker extraordinaire, and also
a lot of puffery time.
Wisconsin legend.
Right. And not making that up. Not hyperbole, folks. Not making it up.
Nice. I don't think he says hyperbole, though.
John Roach is a grad of UW-Madison. Thus why I have my Badger hoodie on today for you, John. I never had the brains to get into Madison. I went to Platteville. But my two godsons, God love them, Alex and Jason, are grads of UW. I was at the game on Saturday. It was just sad. It was just another, what the hell's happening, John?
So here's what I worry about. Wisconsin is a small rural state. We have 5 million people. We have a third of what they have in Pennsylvania, Ohio, like one-tenth of what they have in California. We have 4 or 5 billionaires. Mm. California has 180 billionaires. And now you have to buy your players, right? There's no cap. Mm. There's no contracts to speak of. And I worry that we don't have the financial mass to be competitive. I have argued that the single biggest industry in the state is the dairy industry. It's a $40 billion industry. And I've argued that the dairy farmers adopt the university athletic program, and every football player is a brand of cheese. The smellier cheeses are the down linemen. The Breeze and the light mozzarellas are in the backfield. They're the skilled players. And they would wear the name of the cheese they're representing on the back of their jersey. It's the only way it would be worth the farmer's money. But how are we going to compete in this new economy? I just don't think it bodes well for Wisconsin, Iowa, and Nebraska. It just doesn't. We don't have a lot of high school players in state as compared to these other schools as well, where you can draw on some 2 or 3 stars that you don't have to pay a lot of money to.
I don't want to go down there. I wish we could. We had time. We go down that road.
I'm sorry, you asked.
I
will talk college football for the next.
I know you. We all could.
Here's the thing. I'll pivot it back to politics.
All right, 30 seconds.
The other problem with your theory is, right, like 3 of our 5 billionaires are so busy lighting their money on fire, giving it to MAGA causes.
I agree.
In the case of Diane, John, and Uline.
Yeah. And Judith doesn't care about sports. And Menard gives all his money to motorsports. Yeah. So we're kind of screwed.
We're out of luck.
I want to spend time, John.
Or Todd needs to come up with a really good business idea.
I've tried.
Pressure's on. Clock's ticking.
Right. Here's what's ticking is the release date for this great new film. I want to spend some time on it because, John, you know I'm a big UW football and basketball fan. We both come to know Bo Ryan very well, and Greg Gard, you better than I, although Greg and I went to school the same time in Platteville. Talk to us about this great new film coming out soon, A Road at Night, a documentary about Howard Moore.
Well, the shorthand that I've come up with is when the worst of times bring out the best in people. Howard and his wife, Jennifer, are on their way over to Detroit to visit her mother. Jen was a University of Wisconsin woman of color engineering student in the early 90s, graduated. Howard played with Mike Finley, Tracy Webster, the first team to make it into the NCAA playoffs in 47 years. Rashard Griffith was also part of that bunch. And then Howard returned as an assistant coach for Bo and then later guard. And they were hit head on by a drunk wrong way driver on the interstate outside of Ann Arbor. Jen was killed. Jaden was killed. Howard was seriously injured. Jarrell got off pretty well. And in fact, he pulled Howard out of the car. And then COVID descended upon the land, and my two friends, George Hamill and Tim Valentine, as COVID was lifting, they were finally at a ball game together, and George asked the question that so many Wisconsin people were asking, and that is, how's Howard? Tim, who was an attorney in town, had been helping the Moore family with all the awful things that happened with that kind of accident, and he described some of the issues, and George Hamill said simply, he's one of the more generous philanthropists associated with the university, said, well, we have to do something for Howard. Mm-hmm. That's how it started. They approached me and I said, this isn't, a 4-minute video fundraiser thing. I think it's a doc because of the way people have responded. And obviously documentaries are having their day on streaming. They're immensely popular genre, and sports docs and true crime docs are amongst the most popular of that genre, and this has a little bit of both. So we interviewed over 30 people in over 8 cities about Howard and Jen and their relationship and how they fell in love, because in order to appreciate what was lost, you had to get to know them and understand who they were. And they, Howard and Jen, are beloved by the people that they work with. Mm-hmm. Howard was a uniter, a connector, not just on the team, but on campus. My tongue-in-cheek, dark Irish working title was Grown Men Weeping. Because every one of his teammates had a hard time holding it together, being interviewed. And not just teammates, coaches and others. And God bless George Hamill, who financed it, and Tim Valentine. The three of us were kind of the three amigos on this thing. We premiered last Friday night at the Union South Theater, 350 people. And I know Jim Polzine and Wayne Larrivee and Matt LePay, they all gave it glowing reviews. I'm too close to it to give you one. But it's our goal to get a streaming deal, which would immediately, the vast majority of any revenues generated by the doc will go to the Moore Family Trust to make sure that Howard and Jarrell never want for the resources for Howard's care and Jarrell's future. Wow. That's the headline. And it actually dovetails with our conversation about college football and everything. The Wisconsin's never been a 5-star player, but it has been a 5-star culture. Right. We've sent more walk-ons to the NFL than any program in the country. I worry about that culture being preserved in the new environment of college, but you see this culture on full display with the way his teammates, the basketball program, the athletic program in the Wisconsin community has rallied around this family. We were shooting the Moore family doing the interviews, and while we're doing the interviews at the Moore home, a huge truck pulls in and unloads a big container. Michael Finley had a hyperbaric chamber delivered to Howard's home so we could get his treatments just outside the door in the garage rather than getting in an ambulance and going down onto campus. And he's showing some improvement.
Can you come back a couple of minutes after the break?
Of course, sure.
All right. We're going to finish up with John Roach on the other side. Incredible story, incredible film. We'll talk more about it on the other side. Also, Kira Sabin joining us as well. Reed Galen and Trigby Olson. Stay tuned. It's the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Early voting numbers in Wisconsin for the 2024 election have soared in comparison to the 2020 election. Early voting began last Tuesday, and in just 4 days, election officials say the number of early votes received has risen by almost 40% compared to the last presidential election. As of Friday morning, over 290,000 people had already voted, compared to 209,000 people in 2020. Election officials also say that over 715,000 of 1 million absentee ballots have been returned already. Saturday is Drug Takeback Day in Wisconsin, and over 150 events are planned around the state. Drug Takeback Day aims to give residents a chance to get rid of unwanted or unused medications safely, with the hopes that disposing of the drugs will decrease the risk of substance abuse issues developing. If residents with unwanted medication can't make it to one of the events, there are also hundreds of permanent medication drop boxes across the state. Officials also say the unwanted medications should not be flushed. The Rotary Club of Duluth held its biggest fundraiser of the year over the weekend, spreading roses throughout the area before winter sets in. Officials say it's the 39th year that the organization has held their annual rose sale, and the proceeds are sent to community-based organizations. The roses were sold at various shopping centers around the city. Officials also say the organization is always looking for new projects to benefit the community and is always looking to bring in more community members to volunteer with the club. The Superior Downtown Farmers Market is heading into its final days of the season. The Farmers Market on Banks Avenue is scheduled to close up shop for the winter on October 30th, so area residents should take advantage of it while they still have time. The Farmers Market features a variety of produce that is locally grown, giving residents a chance to get healthy foods and invest back into their own communities. As the colder weather continues to move into the area, more farmers markets will soon be shutting down for the winter. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fight Club fans, I'm sure there are still a few out there, will be happy to know that the film is getting a remaster. That's right, you can now watch Tyler Durden wail on himself in 4K. The Hollywood Reporter says the updated film will also get a re-release in November, according to director David Fincher. The 1999 film starring Edward Norton, Brad Pitt, and Helena Bonham Carter and put Fincher on the map as a commercially viable directing talent. Fight Club didn't knock the socks off the box office during its initial release, but it has since become a cult classic. Those of you who may experience Yellowstone withdrawal have a new Western to look forward to thanks to Netflix. Territory is a new Australian drama set in the outback. Think Yellowstone with a dash of Crocodile Dundee. According to TheWrap.com, the show has got billionaires, cattle baron rivals, cattle thieves, and old wise indigenous elders. The show stars Robert Taylor and Michael Dorman. Season 1 will consist of 6 episodes. Happy viewing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-Action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday on Up North News Radio, State Senator Brad Paff talks about fighting a highly polarizing campaign for re-election in his Cooley Region Senate District.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now, past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Monday, the 28th of October, 2024. We are having fun. This, you understand, this is exactly the kind of show I like to have, because less Todd, I just get to be the traffic cop and have all these great people around me, and it's exactly what I love bringing to each and every one of you across Wisconsin and around the world. We have Reed Galen, the president of the union and co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, and John Roach has stuck around for just a few more minutes with us here. He is the producer and director, would you say?
And writer, yeah.
And writer of this great new film called A Road at Night, the story of Howard Moore, a great documentary. Stay tuned. Kira Sabin, our life coach and positivity psychologist, is right around the corner with helping us through anxiety. John, I wanted to get this, again, just let people know that this is premiered here in Madison now, and you're working on a streaming deal.
We're trying to get on a big streamer, Netflix, Hulu, yep, you know, Amazon Prime, whatever. And we want to do that because you can get a pretty good check for that, and that would go, the vast majority of those funds would go into the Moore Family Trust. We haven't topped that out yet. It's important, by the way, if anyone wants to help out, they can go to domoreforthirtyfour.com and check out the stuff on that site. But, yeah, you know, there's a very I do think the doc has power beyond raising more raising money for the Moors. There's a universal theme there that is pretty powerful, but the first business is to make sure the Moors are taken care of.
The film is called A Road at Night,
correct,
the story of Howard Moore. Do More for 34, is it like his name?
.com,
sorry.
His name, and 34 was his number.
Yep. Do More for 34.com. We'll put it in the show notes. Zomers will be all over that. John, before we let you go, Trigvi and I have traveled around the state now numerous times, and we're so happy to have Reed with us this time. We call it What Makes Wisconsin Great, because we feel that we don't need somebody like Trump to make us great or tell us we're great. We think Wisconsin is already pretty great. This documentary is just an example of the spirit of Wisconsin.
I think that's fair.
As a UW grad, as a Madisonian who knows this area, this is why we started here. Because to Rick Wilson's point earlier in this show, this can't be close. This needs to be a wave election here.
Oh, we have to purge ourselves.
Right.
We have to purge ourselves. And by the way, I want to give you guys love. I'm such a fan of the Lincoln Project. You are doing wonderful work, and you're doing what our democracy needs. Honestly, we need help right now. I mean, we're thinking of electing a guy who staged a violent attack on our Capitol, congressional chambers, and our democracy. How it's even close is gobsmacking to me.
It is mind-numbing.
Yeah, it's just
John Roach. I could sit here all day. We got to make room for our friend Kira Sabin. But let's have you back and let's delve more into this documentary if we can, please.
Sure, Todd.
Because anything that this program, this network could do for Howard Moore and his family, we're all in on that.
I'm sending a link. You'll be able to watch it.
Yeah,
you know
I
what?
Can't
Did
wait.
You invite John to come and have a few beers and some cheese curds with
tonight,
us tonight?
Tonight, John, 6:30 in the park. Beers and cheese curds on us.
What, sure. Beers and cheese curds on us.
Yeah. Everybody that's watching and listening, welcome to stop by.
I would be happy to have an IV drip full of beer and cheese.
All right. Well, so we'll see you 6:30
tonight in the park.
All
right. Great. John, you're amazing.
Well, thank you guys.
Thanks for your friendship.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for stopping by. Yep. John Roach, everybody. With that, we're going to transition to our other friend and ongoing contributor, someone else who's a part of What Makes Wisconsin Great. It's great to have her back on the program. Kira Sabin, our love guru, doctor to the stars and positivity psychologist. Kira, how the heck are you, my friend?
I am great, Toddles. I don't know if I can compare with beer and cheese curds IV
well,
drip.
You and your lovely husband, Danny, should come on down to on the park as well as everybody else tonight, 6:30 to 7:30 in the park. You're invited, Kira.
Well, thank you. I'll talk to Danny about it.
All right, very good. Kira, we appreciate you coming on because, you know, particularly Reed and Trigvi here, they've worked on presidential level campaigns, but it doesn't matter if you're in that realm or just folks listening at home. I think all of us have just about had it, and I can't stand to turn on the TV anymore, basically, with these ads. What is it about this that has an effect on our psychology and can truly be dangerous for our mental health?
I mean, it can. Let's just talk about, as humans, we don't like uncertainty and we don't like a lack of control. And election season brings both of those. So it's stressful. It's hard. We only have one vote. We don't have a lot of control and it can feel really heavy. And in fact, I've had friends just reach out saying, tell me it's going to be okay. Like just the average people really, really stressed out. I mean, I'm not on a political, I don't run the Lincoln Project, which I'm a huge fan of, by the way, huge fan. I don't, you know, I'm not on a political show. I'm just the average person, but we're all stressed out here. And I'll tell you, we put on cat TV for my cat because, yes, we are those people. And I can't even, my poor cat can't even watch cat TV because there's terrible commercials every 8 minutes. And I'm like, what is happening? What is happening?
Yes, you truly are a childless cat woman.
I totally am.
And proud
Could
of it.
Could not be happier.
Proud
Could
of
not
it, by be the happier. Way. So, you know, what context do you think, you know, are you consuming and how do we make sure this is helpful to us as the average person out there to get through the next, you know, few days?
I mean, I just think the first thing we need to do is recognize this is stressful. I think everybody's just kind of, you know, trying to avoid things, but seeing things online that upset them. And we're going through these kind of ups and downs all day, which is really hard on our nervous system. It's really hard on emotional regulation. And I just feel hijacked every time I'm online, which brings me to the most important thing we can do for this next week is just really look at where we put our time and energy.
Yeah.
And feel free to step away from things that you normally do, step away from things or people. If you just need a little bit of like low stress time, I think that's okay. I think it's okay for us to take a break this week. It's rough out there.
Don't take a break. Take a break after the elections. Knock on doors. Do whatever you have to do to ensure that you don't have to live with this fear day after day after day.
Regain your control by making phone calls and knocking on.
Channel the fear. They want you to be afraid. This is the thing, but
she's talking about your social media.
We should be very kind.
She's talking about the
social media.
No one in their right mind would come to Trigvi and me for any sort of psychological help.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's my interview, so that's what I want to talk to you.
Can I ask you a question about fear and like the role that fear plays in our lives? Because the truth of the matter is, I've worked around the world against these guys. I got, you know, thrown, banned from Russia by Putin and labeled an enemy of the Belarusian state by Lukashenko. But what I've seen with all these guys, they try and use fear to dictate behavior. Jeff Bezos, second richest guy in the world, what did he do? He stopped an endorsement with the Washington Post because he's afraid. And and can you talk about the role of fear and how fear can both be destructive or constructive in our lives?
So I'm first of all going to push back on that and say that I don't think that fear can be constructive most of the time. I really, really don't. I would love to talk about the fact that you guys talk about politics, I think in fear, right? You guys are talking about why are we voting like this or what do we need to move these votes? I'm thinking, why is our country so scared? So scared to let other people live a good life? So scared to have health insurance? Why are we so scared to let other people be happy? Like, that's literally how I see it. Like, we people are so unhappy. People are so scared to give up their privilege or whatever it is. They are holding on tight to something that doesn't even make sense anymore. And you guys know as well as I do that there's plenty of people who can see the truth, but right, admitting that they're wrong to their family or their friends, that's harder to do than anything. Than to vote for the right person. Like, we are dealing with a fear state. I don't see this as politics at all. We are a country filled with fear right now and honestly hate. And it's really concerning. It's really concerning.
To read Trigvi's point, Kira, one of the ways to defeat that fear and really, you know, take back the power, do something, you know, to quote Michelle Obama, do something about it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, go out, as you said, register, vote, canvas, all these things, and you feel better and not so afraid, in my opinion.
But we also have to talk about a little bit of downtime. We also have to talk about 30 minutes before you go to bed, putting away your devices, making sure you're staying off of social media, knowing that you're not probably going to change anybody's opinion a week before the election.
On Facebook, really?
I know. Shocking.
Twitter doesn't change people's minds.
You guys, this is mind-blowing. I know this is mind-blowing content to you guys, too. But, you know, I'm talking about if we are losing it on a daily basis, it's hard to get out there and canvas and keep working. We have to have some basic self-care to just make it through. But a lot of people are worried about their livelihood or the livelihood of their children.
But
you know,
may I ask a question about the fear and unhappiness?
Yes,
which
I
think a lot of it, I think, is generate. I mean, there's a lot of communication incoming, right? To generate that kind of. Is there ever a point at which someone just bonks that there's just no, they don't have any unhappiness left to give, or is it just something that continues on a downward spiral?
I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have no rock bottom. I don't know if I want to say it that way. I think, I mean, there's a lot of people, this is not my idea at all, but there's a lot of people who equate that almost everything we feel boils down to either love or fear. So love not only of ourselves, but of the human race, of people, of animals, of the world versus fear. And fear closes us in. Fear makes us fight. Fear pushes people away. Love finds community. Love sees the connection. So to me, this is, once again, not about politics. This is about finding community and connection again and finding some basic self-care during a really, really tough time. You know, fight during the days, but man, make sure that you have some downtime or you're surrounding yourself with good things or happy things during, you know, during that free time, because otherwise you won't have anything left to give.
I think that's so important. I mean, obviously with what Reed and Todd, there's a lot of stress. I mean, like I had some knucklehead on Twitter today who literally referred to me as a communist Nazi, which I thought, okay, you've just proven your point.
Point,
you don't know what you're talking about. But,
at all.
But I will say this, like I was having this conversation with my wife and she's like, it was whether I would go play old men's hockey at 11:30 at night. And she's like, you're so tired, like you should just go to bed. And I said, what you have to understand is when I go play hockey, it's the one time when I don't think about all that's going on in my life. All I think about is playing hockey because it's what I've done my whole life. And she's like, she gave good advice. She's like, well, then you should go and do that because that's actually going to be more important than you laying in bed not sleeping. And we all have to find those things like that we have that's our space that gets us out of it. Maybe it's go play with the kids or whatever. But and not just with politics, I think with all things in life. Right?
Absolutely. That's my third point. I appreciate you guys just doing my work for me here. But, you know, I mean, it's finding like those moments of joy through your day. It's like surrounding yourself with people who are going to help you keep the sanity this week, you know, on some level. It's having those mindful moments, whether it be with family, whether it be music, whether it be, you know, sitting down just working at a jigsaw puzzle for 30 minutes. But we have to get out of our heads sometimes.
But also, Karen, knowing that you're not in it alone, that there are other people dealing with whatever it might be.
But don't you guys agree that, because I think you're around my age, both Todd and I went to high school together.
You're younger.
We're Gen X.
I'm a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
I'm an old Gen Xer.
So we're all Gen Xers. Thank you for thinking I'm younger.
I was listening to the Reality Bites soundtrack with my daughter this weekend. She didn't get it.
I watched, what's that? Let's do Rocky Horror Picture Show with my daughter. This weekend.
I love you guys bringing in the Gen X world to them. That's amazing. I find as Gen Xers, we don't know how to ask for help. I find that a lot of us don't know how to find community. And that's a big problem for us because we're now the people who are grumpy online. We're calling them boomers, but a lot of them are my age, right? There's a lot of people who are isolating. There's a lot of people who find their community online. And we know the communities online are not always the safest and smartest and greatest spaces for information and just kindness. Like, there's a lot of kindness missing from everything right now. A lot.
I was just saying to Reed. So Reed and I have had this ongoing conversation. So
30 seconds.
Part of the political problem we have is a Gen X white dude problem. And you just hit the nail on the head. Like, what you just said is so insightful with part of what that loneliness is
part of what's driving all of this.
All of it.
We're going to have Kira Sabin come back and counsel three lonely white men, or at least two, one. at least me.
It's sad I'm alone in my house with three other people and a dog.
And we'll also ask Kira, how do girls have conversations with their dads about this election? Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Robinhood is introducing forecast contracts so you can trade the presidential election. Through Robinhood, you can now trade financial derivatives contracts on who will win the U.S. presidential election, Harris or Trump, and watch as contract prices react to real-time market sentiment. Each contract you own will pay $1 on January 8th, 2025, if that candidate is confirmed as the next U.S. president by Congress. Learn more about the presidential election contracts on Robinhood at www.robinhood.com/election. The risk of loss in trading commodity interests can be substantial. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Commodity interest trading is not appropriate for everyone. Displayed prices are based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. Learn more at www.robinhood.com/election.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about tariffs. We keep hearing this economic term bandied around, and politicians who are talking up tariffs want us to think that it's a good idea to put fees on foreign goods. It's going to protect American businesses and consumers. Turns out, that's not always the case. We can't tax companies that are overseas, so we end up taxing the mostly American-owned and run companies that are just bringing goods in from around the world. So if tariffs go up by 20%, history and studies show that those companies are going to pass those extra costs right on to me and you. I don't know about you. While prices are coming down, I can't afford to pay 20% more for what I'm buying. So next time you hear some politician talking about tariffs, just remember, the ones being proposed are a tax on Americans being paid by Americans. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC, CBS News, whichever your station you are listening to, that depends on who, what network feed you get. And then the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by Dom Salvia. From 4 until 6, our friend Pete Schwabba then, well, they're all our friends, but Pete Schwabba on Nightlight after 6 o'clock. We are hitting the road a little bit later today. We'll be doing the show live from Viroqua, Wisconsin, in the old Driftless tomorrow, and then having a meet and greet tomorrow night.
We have a bus.
In lacrosse.
People are going to see on. Tell them about the bus.
We have a bus thanks to Reed and the great folks at the union. Thank you very much. We have a bus to get on. Kira, you should come on. You can be like our Deanna Troi, our ship's counselor.
Right.
I want to come along.
Why would we do that to her?
Yes. No, I kind of want to come along. I feel like it's going to be like a rock star week or
we got plenty of room. We got plenty of room.
And you could also. I got the party bus, not just the Greyhound.
That's what this weekend. Also, you can meet all of us, Trigvy, Reed, myself, and others, a cast of thousands tonight to the Inn on the Park in downtown Madison across from the Capitol.
Wait, a cast of thousands? The Capitol's, staff at the Inn know that?
It's a lot of beer and curds.
From 6:30 until 7:30, your first beverage is free, and then cheese curds as well. All right, a lot to get to, not a lot of time to get there. Kira, give us just a little more on this issue of loneliness.
I just want to talk about, because I think this has brought up such a great conversation. How did we get here? Why do we feel like 8 years ago, 12 years ago, 16 years ago, it did not feel this divisive? It did not feel so crazy. And I think it's loneliness. And I think it's the fact that online, for all of its beauty and information, has pulled us away from each other, has pulled us away from community. And our community keeps us sane. Because as we all know, if we're in our houses alone on a computer, we can get ourselves real riled up and go down rabbit holes. And it doesn't matter what you believe or who you like. That happens. And there's so many people. I believe it's 45% of Gen Z right now feel like they don't have one friend who actually knows them. And they're the best of the generations. That's the best. I think it's 60%. It's 50-something percent, particularly for men over 50. And I think that's even low. Like, I think that that's not even admitting. But we have a lot of people who not even fear, but are just lonely. And when you become lonely, you think that everybody doesn't see the world the same way you do anymore. They don't care about the same things anymore. We're all just trying to get through the day. But I just want to be a part of a world that helps other people get through the day, too.
Yeah. Give us your 30-second, one-minute plug on the latest project you have. I want to make sure we get this in before we run out of time.
Sure. I have actually created a brand new program for women in midlife because I think that when you hit your 40s or 50s, life changes, especially for women. And I think that community is the answer. So I've created this beautiful program to teach self-worth skills, boundaries, trust, how to deal with aging parents, all of it, the things that you go through as we start shifting into like a different chapter, and how to do it better, how to have a new meaning and purpose, how to, I call them, I'm actually calling these my spicy years, right? Because I am ready to get stuff done. So I'm a little hot flashing from my menopause, and I'm spicy because I want to get things done. And I don't really care what people think anymore. So that's the gift of midlife. So
I love
that's
it,
the program.
Quickly, trivia.
So I have one question for you as it relates to, and I like that idea about being spicy, but the one of the things that struck me is and particularly about Wisconsin, right? My mom was in hospice for about 8 months, and I had come back, and I was back in River Falls. She had Alzheimer's, and I had, you know, I had people from, you know, my former roots in the Republican Party who've said some pretty nasty things about me on social media to me and whatever, and I've had people on the left and then like I was Republican. But here's the cognitive dissonance in all of it. When my mom was sick, they were bringing me Steve's pizza. They knew I was in a hard way. There was such a cognitive dissonance between those people on both sides, who they are as people,
right,
and what they're espousing in their politics. And how do we get people to see that cognitive dissonance?
Kira?
Well, first of all, just you saying cognitive dissonance makes me happy. So I am in love with biases and understanding our biases. And my favorite bias, because doesn't everybody have one, is confirmation bias. And I'm sure you guys maybe know what that is, which is we seek out information that we want to confirm to be true, and we ignore information that isn't. And I think that that's a huge problem with our biases. And I think I forgot your question because
you kind of get to it. I mean, yeah. I've said this to Todd many times. If I could convince my wife to move back to Wisconsin, I would want to in a heartbeat. And if I could have Tony Evers as my neighbor on the left and Robin Voss as my neighbor on the right, my life would be pretty good because they'd both be bringing me casseroles if my cat got sick. I don't have a cat. I actually have a dog. But neither here nor there, right? But, you know, trying to get them together in a room to solve a problem for the people seems to be a real issue.
I was just going to say, I think that that's been one of the most interesting thing about being born and raised Wisconsinian is looking around and going, I don't recognize the kind of people who helped raise Todd in our community. We're from a town of 5,000, right? Everybody in my neighborhood knew where all the kids were at all times. We all took care of each other, right? I don't recognize our community anymore. We are so pulling in so tight and wanting to make sure that we stay safe. We're so scared that we just aren't helping each other anymore. Or that's what it feels like. But maybe that's not even true anymore.
It's not the truth, though.
I tease this. I want to get to it. I know I'm not fair. I'm not giving you enough time.
Oh, that's okay.
But give us 60 seconds, a tip. Maybe not all the speech, but a tip to young women out there or any woman who's having a conversation with a male that they love on why they should vote for Kamala Harris and what it means to the reproductive rights.
I think that it's not even a vote for Kamala Harris. It's a vote for just everybody women having the same rights that men have always have. That's all. That's all it is. Asking for the same rights that we have given men since the beginning of time. And if they can't recognize that every woman deserves the same rights as they have, then you have to question your friendship. And you have to question
your family. Kira Sabin, you're amazing. We thank you so very much. We'll have you back very soon. Also, thanks to Mark Cuban and John Roach, as well as Reed Galen. Trinity Olson, we're on the road. See you in Viroqua tomorrow. Come on down to the end of the park tonight. Keep banging your drum. Maggie Dawn is next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air. Dom Selvia.
Next time, President Biden apologizes for the atrocities of the Indian boarding schools. Also, why won't the LA Times or the Washington Post endorse this election cycle? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.